Spotlight.
This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Operation Sindoor, India's global outreach to counter terrorism. The participants are Anil Kumar Trigunayat, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.
Diplomacy plays a crucial role in shaping the foreign policy and keeping the world well informed about countries' stand on various issues concerning national security as well as the international polity. As the all-party delegation begins the visit today, we are joined by Ambassador Anil Trigunayat to discuss more on the significance of this diplomatic outreach by India. Ambassador Trigunayat, welcome to Akashwani News.
Thank you, Deeksha.
India's diplomacy has always been a very vibrant part of the governance, and you yourself have served a very long time in the foreign services. Today, again, as the outreach begins, I would like you to throw some light. Why is this outreach important?
Well, thank you, Deeksha. You know, this is an excellent effort on the part of the government to send these seven delegations comprising of from across the party spectrum. Several of them are there, which are party leaders, or they have been nominated by their parties. Some are very well-known figures. But at the same time, I think that it is important to convey a message of a unified India speaking in unison about a global threat, which is terrorism, and its sponsors, which is Pakistan, and some other countries like that. And therefore, it is important to expose them in the wake of Pahalgam, where 26 innocent tourists were killed on the basis of their religion by these terrorists who came from Pakistan. And therefore, it is important to tell them. And secondly, it is also important to not only tell them that the terrorism exists and from where it is coming, but also to tell what is the policy of India, which has become a paradigm shift. That is, if we are attacked by any terror groups from across the border, we will decimate them completely, as well as those sponsors will face the consequences. And this has become the new paradigm shift in India's foreign policy and diplomatic policy towards Pakistan, and that the world must understand and know it. Because terrorism is not something that a single country by itself can fight. But at the end of the day, if the others are not willing to fight, India will fight and try to finish them off as much as it can.
Ambassador Trigunayat, I'll come back to your answer, and one by one we'll analyze each pointer which you have highlighted, and all of them, they hold a lot of significance on what is happening in the country and what we are trying to tell the world. But as of now, I would like to come to our next question, and as I had mentioned, the seven delegations consisting of 59 members of parliament, former ministers and politicians cutting across party lines will travel to 32 countries and the European Union headquarters in Brussels. So here I would like you to throw some light and make us understand how were these places chosen for the all-party delegation to visit and narrate what India has been through in past decades through terrorism.
You know, one of the things is the 13 countries from the UN Security Council, leaving aside Pakistan, obviously, and which is a non-permanent member this time. These 13 countries were selected on the basis of they being a member of the non-permanent of the UN Security Council. Then we have chosen our friendly countries or several countries who are on the fringe or whose statements have somehow not been palatable in our context or not greatly appreciated. So it is important to convince to them that there is a unified international response which is required to these kind of terrorist attacks at all levels and everywhere it is required. So that's how these countries are selected on that basis. And there might be more delegations, you never know. But at the moment, we have chosen these seven delegations, which will be going to so many countries and try to explain India's policies and the paradigm shift that has taken place in our approach with regard to cross-border terrorism and terrorism per se.
Your answer brings me to my next question. As you had mentioned earlier as well, there's a new security doctrine which the country is following, and in very clear words, the government has communicated that any act of terrorism will now be considered as an act of war. Could you decipher this entire statement for our listeners? What does it mean and how important it is in reflecting India's stand?
You see, we understand one thing, most important thing for any country is sovereignty and territorial integrity. And terrorism has become one of the biggest threats especially coming from Pakistan for the last 4 decades. India has tried all kinds of possibilities to work with Pakistan. In the wake of Pathankot, we even invited them to do the joint investigation. In the wake of 26/11, we provided all the evidence to Pakistan. We even told them the terror and talk cannot continue, and then it discontinued. Since then, we have not talked in a bilateral format the way we should have. And therefore, it is very clear. And now it continues. Then India changed its course, as you know, in the Uri, and then after Pulwama, and then now Pahalgam. That it is that we are going to respond decisively to the terrorists, their hideouts, and their sponsors. Precisely, surgical strikes were done after Uri. We had the Balakot strikes that were done and decimating the hideouts of terrorist groups and their camps. And this time, as you know, India had very clearly articulated to the Pakistanis that we are only going to hit the terror hideouts. So 9 terror hideouts, killing about 100 of them, was undertaken, and very precisely. And it's only when the Pakistanis retaliated that India gave that vehement response, which is going to be studied by many countries as far as military strategy is concerned. So I believe that message was loud and clear. And that is the reason that Pakistan went around asking for many countries in the world to intervene and help, and then eventually approached India for asking for ceasefire. And since our objective was very similar, that we are not going to go to war, but we want to convey a message and take out the terrorist groups and terrorists, it is to be conveyed to the rest of the world as well.
I'm quite curious to know this here, Ambassador Trigunayat, that the way we view terrorism, the way India views terrorism, and the Prime Minister in his address also categorically said that the 9/11 attack or the UK tube attack, the trail has led the world to Pakistan. Not just India, but even the other countries have been facing terrorism. Do you feel that the world is also holding the same views about terrorism? And what kind of action, if any, is being taken by other countries? And here I would also like you to highlight what role are the multilateral organizations playing in stopping the menace of terrorism?
Well, I'm afraid that this is not happening. The terrorism, as Prime Minister mentioned, 9/11 happened. Until 9/11 happened, United States and the West did not even acknowledge that India is suffering from terrorism. It's only after 9/11 that they start talking about. And thereafter also, they believed in this. They know from where the terrorists are coming. They have been themselves complicit in creating Taliban, for example, or these terror outfits. And then they went, attacked them, and then finally gave power. You see what is happening in Syria. There was a leader who has been designated as a terrorist by themselves. They just lifted all sanctions from him, embracing him. So what kind of a message it is conveying? That is very important to understand. I mean, this is something that it does not give me a great confidence that the world truly understands. It's only when it hurts them that they are very much, proactive. But after that, they start playing geopolitics. So we need to call them out. We need to very specifically tell them that this is not something that's going to fly. I mean, there should be uniform standards. And that's why, if you remember, Prime Minister Modi, when he had gone in 2016 to the United Nations, and there he had said, unfortunately, there is not a definition of terrorist, who terrorist is. And we had also proposed this Comprehensive Convention of International Terrorism draft treaty, which would have taken care of all these. Of course, in the UN, there are these groups and some kind of mechanisms which are there. They issue statements, but that's it. So they have been totally inadequate. Look at, in the wake of Pahalgam, what kind of a statement came out from the UN Security Council? It was a press statement which was totally watered down without calling out from where they are coming, who's coming. Now, when you go to the United Nations Security Council Committee 1267 to designate a terrorist, right now we are trying to do that the Resistance Front, which had owned up the responsibility for Pahalgam. Now, there you have seen that what kind of problems we come across. When a Masood Azhar is to be, or his brother, were to be designated terrorists, you see what kind of a hold China placed on them. In 6 months' time, they are whitewashed into different kind of new group, are brought out by Pakistani state, deep state rather. So I think that we have to be very clear in our minds that while we will continue to tell the world what is our position, that terrorism is the limit threat for the world's own global security, and the global solidarity and response is absolutely necessary to fight this evil. Otherwise, we will continue to take care of ourselves.
Ambassador Trigunayath, here I would also like you to explain the kind of isolation strategy which India has now started and adopted with Pakistan. How far will it go in the successful isolation of a country which is the state sponsor of terrorism? And what new connections or new relations will India build up in the coming years or decades?
Well, I think that India has very successfully exposed Pakistan and its hand in promoting terrorism against India. There is no doubt about it. India has said that there is a zero tolerance policy against terrorism. We have also said terror and talks cannot continue. Prime Minister said terror and trade cannot continue. The blood and water cannot flow together. So India's diplomatic strikes, as you could call it, was absolutely A-class. I mean, we suspended or put the Indus Water Treaty in abeyance of subject to their good behavior. Now, likewise, the trade or any other contacts, P2P contacts and others have been held back. Now they have been discontinued to a great extent. So on that, it is important to tell the people and the world that what is happening. On top of it, we also took physically out these terror infrastructure, which was persisting under the umbrage of the deep state of Pakistan. So India has very clearly in the FATF, whether it is FATF against the IMF, you see, we abstained on that. I wish some of our friends who call themselves as our strategic partners would have also abstained. At least that would have conveyed the message that business can't be as usual for a state that indulges in sponsoring terrorism. And that's what precisely the diplomatic enterprise of India this time is going to convey to the world, that it is not only that they make these kind of lame statements and be done with it. What is more important is the action on the ground that they should take. Because otherwise, if Pakistan will continue to be emboldened, if countries, for example, like Turkey or China and others continue to support them, they will think that they have done nothing wrong. So even they are doing a great disservice to the people of Pakistan by continuing to support them. And this will eventually hurt them. This is terrorism, like climate, does not know boundaries. And every country needs to understand that.
Lastly, Ambassador Trigunayath, information warfare, as all of us we have seen during this operation, has played a vital role. And do you feel that this diplomatic outreach by India in various countries will impact the local population in the respective countries? Because that kind of coverage will be given by the media to the delegation. And do you feel that the Western media propagates things against India and without even fact-checking?
It's not a question of fact-checking. I think it is totally willful and with an agenda-driven approach that they do it. And many of these major, I have seen the reporting even on CNN, which came from Pakistan by a very well-known anchor. He was peddling the Pakistani lies on the television, trying to convince the already converted Western people who don't care about what is happening in India. So this is something that we need to fight out. Gray zone warfare, as it is called, is a continuous process, a 24/7 process, and it needs to be carried on through a very robust communication strategy. And I think that these particular groups which are going there will be able to interact, and our embassies will arrange their interaction with the Indian community, with the local communities, with the local think tanks, with the local groups, parliamentarians, the foreign office, security outfits, and so that they are able to communicate at different levels exactly what is India's stand and why we are there.
Ambassador Trigunayath, thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and giving us insights on this very important issue. Thank you so much for joining us for Spotlight tonight.
Thank you, Diksha.
You were listening to a discussion on Operation Sindoor, India's global outreach to counter terrorism. The participants were Anil Kumar Trigunayath, former ambassador, and Diksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.